Okay, fine. After registering my protest but being overruled by Wasserman and apparently you guys, we are going to talk about celebrating Thanksgiving, but we are going to start from the beginning, and we're going to talk about B'chukotei and Letzeleicho, and we're really going to try to understand the sugya, okay? So, we're going to start with the Gemara in, well, okay, a few people approached me already, and they said, oh, I heard that shir before, and either they said, well, you're allowed to keep it as long as you don't do it kavua, you don't always do it, thank you, Ramoshe. And someone, and Rudy said, are you going to quote Ramoshe Feinstein and Rai Soloveitchik? I'm like, yeah, sure, of course, that's what you have to do. Let's start from the beginning, okay? The potential Isser that you would be talking about, if there is an Isser to celebrate Thanksgiving, would be what? Very good. Chukot HaGoyim, where does that come from? The Pasuk, what's the Pasuk say? Very good. One of them is Ubu Chukotayim Lo Teilecho. Very good. Right, all variations of don't follow, right, there, right, don't follow in the statutes of the non-Jews. Now, obviously, one of the issues that we won't get into too much is is the Isser formally limited to the Shivat Avamim? I won't get into that too much. But yeah, right, so the psukim that you have, you have Vayikra Yudchet Gimel, right, Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Ta'asu, Kimas Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mevi Etchem Shama Lo Ta'asu V'Chokoteim Lo Teilecho, right, don't do like the acts of Mitzrayim in which you dwelled, or like the acts of the people of Canaan, the country to which you are going, don't follow their ways. Right, don't follow the nations that I'm going into. So again, the Sefer HaChinuch suggests that maybe it applies to Sheva Amin plus Mitzrayim. But then, of course, he rejects it, right? That it's not just that, right? It's generally understood to be all the nations of the world. The Rambam says explicitly, right, that the purpose of the prohibition is to separate us from the idolaters, and therefore it's not limited to any specific nations. That's a general assumption in halacha. That's quoted that way, la halacha and Shulchan Aruch as well. So let's just assume that, okay? We'll make things simpler, that whatever the prohibition is going to be, it's going to be for all potential nations. Okay. Now, in the psukim already, what are the words that we need to define, right? If you were just reading the psukim and you wanted to figure out the parameters of chukot hagoyim, right? What words do we need to define? Josh, yes. What? Chok, very good. First, we need to figure out what it means, right? It doesn't say, acharei ha'amim lo teilechu. It says, uvichukotehem lo teilechu, which means that we have to figure out what it means to follow their statute, their law, their rule, whatever that means. Okay, good. What might it mean, Josh? First, I'll give Josh another shot. What might it mean? So it could mean their law, sure. I mean, what are the questions you need to ask, right? So those are two different things, right? So the question you're going to ask in chok is, what does it mean a chok, right? So you have to ask, first of all, level of formality, right? Does a chok mean specifically a law? Is it a practice, right? Right, chukim can mean different things. They have the mashmot of law, but they could also be something that is regular, right? It could be a law. What? Oh, fine. You'll tell me. Well, you're supposed to follow their laws. Sure. I'm just telling the words, right? And when you say, "What does their chok mean?" It could be that it's.
If we have something invalidating,
then fine. I'm just theoretical possibilities. I'm telling you, but the point is, first you need to define the level of formality, right? Is it, how formal is this practice that will rise to the level of chok that you can't do, right? Okay, fine. Kobe.
The Torah defines chok as like a law that applies specifically to a nation, like a specific nation.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so like it's a chok for Bnei Yisrael.
Sometimes, sure. Sometimes it is. Sometimes. Sometimes it does. Sometimes. Right? Some of you have what? Eila chukim va'torot. These are the laws and the laws and the laws and the different types of laws. Okay. Yes and no. I mean, sometimes you're right. Okay, but one question is formality. What else?
I think you also have to ask a separate question, what does Teilechu mean?
Good. What does Teilechu mean? So what might Teilechu mean?
To, like, do a practice, it could mean. Like, okay. Like, do a Maisa, or to, like, I'm not sure, I don't know.
We have Lalachas Bedracha, which is another example of a command with the word, like...
Yeah, okay.
Used, and that's, like, mimicking, like, just copying.
So...
It also implies some
copying. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. It might. No, that's the right question. The right question is, okay, Teilechu. What does Teilechu mean? Does it mean you can't act in the way they act, or it means you can't act in the way they act because they act that way? Right? Is it, what do you mean? They do it, so I can't do it now, or they do it, and therefore I can't do it because they're doing it. Meaning, am I doing it to copy them? Right? I mean, what does it mean, lo teilechu? Does it mean they do it and now it's forbidden for me? Or it's only forbidden if I'm doing it in order to be like them? Right? Those are two very different formulations. Right? To say that it's usur to mimic them is a much stronger claim, but therefore a much more limited claim, than saying I simply can't do anything they do. Right? That would be very expansive. Right? Oh, very good. So then you also have to say, well, what does it mean? Vichukote. Now, what? Which word are you defining?
Hem.
Yeah, not a word. It's a suffix. Hem, right? Is what does it mean to be theirs, right? Right. So now we have three things we need to define. What? Right. How formal does it have to be a chok? Second of all, is hem, right? What makes it theirs, right? Like they eat, so I can't eat, right? They breathe, I can't breathe, right? What makes it their chok rather than just something we all do? Oh, so we have to figure it out. Right? Is it what they created? Is it... right, then Teilechu. Once it qualifies as chukotehem, I can't do it because I can't do it, or I can't do it because I'm trying to follow them. Right? What else? Right, what else might you ask? Right, so we talked about formality. We talked about what... Right, what makes it theirs? We talked about whether we're following it or mimicking. What else? You also have to talk about which chukim. Right? Right? Does it depend on is it only about the formality and right? Or is there a substantive type of chuk that it's limited to? Right? As we talked about from the context of Din Malchut Adina, certain times we are bound to listen to their laws. Right? So obviously certain of their laws we have to follow because they said them, which means that there must be a limitation. Now, what limitations might we have? So we might have goes against the Torah, though that might be included in the Torah in general. But yeah, I mean, in the Psukim, you could have just said it means don't go against the Torah and be like them. Yeah, what else? What else might it mean, Ezra?
Oh, I have a separate question.
Start with my question. And I'll take yours. Right, what? Yeah. Right, so it could be idolatry because that's clearly part of it. What else might it be? What's the context in Perek Yud-Chet and Pasuk Perek Chaf of Vayikra? The two psukim are from Vayikra Yud-Chet and Vayikra Chaf. They have the same theme. What is it? Kobe, Vayikra Yud-Chet and Vayikra Chaf. What is the theme? Okay, Haftarah. Fine, I'll tell you. Mincha of Yom Kippur. It didn't help you. The Arayot. Right? The forbidden unions. The forbidden sexual unions. Vayikra Yud-Chet and Vayikra Chav are both the repetitions of the forbidden unions. So it might be about Dezara. Definitely something that has to do with sexuality is in the cards. Because, you know, both Psukim appear in Prakim that are about that. And to be fair, the connection between sexuality and about Dezara in the ancient world is, as we know, quite rampant. Right? Could be other things. Right, but you also need to figure out what type of gzera it is. Right, so those are the questions we need to ask. Ezra, what's your question? Then let's turn to the Gemaras. Yeah?
Why are you saying that a chok is a formality?
I said that's what the question we have to answer. I didn't assume anything. I haven't made any assumptions. I said we have to define the word.
To define chok, right? It doesn't necessarily mean any type of formality.
Correct. I said we have to define chok. We have to define hem. We have to define teilechu, right? And within chok, I said we need to define both. How formal of a chok are we talking about? Because chok has a certain formal tone. Is that precise, right? Is it only the type of thing that is formal? Or, you know, they happen to do something? right? And we got to figure out, is it all chukim, or is it something that is derived from a certain problematic, right? Is it usher because the goyim do it, or is it usher because of the problematic background to it? Yes, Rudy. Sure. Sure. So that would go under the hem question, right? What makes it theirs, right? Yeah, I understand. And that's why I said we have to define hem, right? Yes. Okay. So the problem is that the answer to these questions in the main Gemara, well, is not consistent. It's not consistent. Okay? So the main Gemarot appear in Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin. Right, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah dot Yud Aleph says as follows. Okay, if you want to look it up, Yud Aleph Avod Aleph. The Gemara is talking about the practices on the birthday of the king, Yom Aleidah veYom Amita. So the Gemara says, Michlal de Rabbi Meir Savar. Lo shna mita sheyesh ba sreifa, velo shna mita sheein ba sreifa, polchi ba lavoda kochavim. What we learn from Rabbi Meir's position, I won't get into the whole background here, but he thinks that whether or not they burn the king's belongings, on both of them, the practice on the day of the king's death was to worship idols. Okay. Right, so that's not the distinction. One second, it's gonna be easier if I just look at this on the screen, it's a little bigger. Thursdays are crazy. It's like a marathon of Shiram. Literally a marathon.
Good practice for the Alpha Marathon, huh?
No. Nothing against it, but I don't know what talking all day has to do with that, unless that's what the marathon looks like.
Let's go.
No. Look. A few years ago, right, Georgina and I did alternate giving Shir straight for 18 hours. I can, not always, and I think some other people gave, like, some guests, I think we each gave, like, I don't know. I have done things like that. Okay, anyways. Stamina, sure. Right? So the Gemara says in both cases they engage in idol worship, right? And nevertheless, Rabbi Meir holds, right, that, the burning itself of the king, right, is not an idolatrous custom, okay? And the Chachamim disagree, okay? Because the Gemara is arguing how to relate to this. So, Michal de Rabbanan Sarvei Sreifa Chukei. So the Gemara said, if that's the case, right, if the Chachamim think that the burning, this burning upon the death of the king is an idolatrous custom. The Tanya, but the Braita says, Surfin al Malachim, we are also allowed to burn the king's items upon his death. Velo midarke Amori, right? It's not amongst the Amorite practices. Why not? The Ichukahi, if it is a chukah, Anon hechi savarfinon, how can we burn v'achdev uvichukoteem lo teleichu? It says vichukoteem lo teleichu. Ella de kule alma, so everyone must hold srefa, lav chukahi. It's not a chukah. Everyone agrees that this public burning of the king's stuff is not a chukah. Elo lav chashivutahi. It's just an expression of importance to the king who passed away. And what are they arguing about? Remeir says Loshna Mita Sheish Basreva, Loshna Mita Shein Basreva, Palchi Balavod Kochavim. Remeir thinks in both cases they'll worship idols. Run Savri Mita Sheish Basreva, Chashiva Lo, Upalchi Ba, Vishain Basreva, Lo Chashiva Lo Palchuba. Okay, so what do we have? What's the evidence we have? The Gemara says that what? Is it mutter for a Jew to burn the items of the king after the king dies? Yes. Yes or no? Yes. The Gemara says, why? How could that be? Right? The Gemara says, isn't it a chok? Right? Isn't it a chok? Which is, what's the implication of the Gemara? What type of chok? That's connected to what? Avodah Zarah. Gemara's answer, it's not a chok. It's, right, even though they are worshipping idols on that day, the burning itself is what? Chashivuta. It's just an expression of significance, giving honor to the king, and that is permitted. So now let's go through our questions, okay? In this Gemara, okay, in terms of formality, how formal a practice does chok have to be to make it a chok? Do we know? Well, no, we don't know. Why? Because this is a very formalized practice, and nevertheless, the Gemara's conclusion is that it's permitted because it's only chashivuta, right? So on the level of formality, it seems to be pretty formal, right? This is what kings do, Jews and non-Jews, right? And nevertheless, it's permitted. So the Gemara here seems to have a high level of tolerance for even a formal chok. Well, that's okay? But it doesn't fit it. So Ezra correctly points out, it must be that the Gemara thinks that it's connected to the second question, which is what is the source of it? And what does the Gemara here seem to think? That if it were Avodah Zarah, then it would be Usher. If it's not Avodah Zarah, then it's Mutter, right? So it's not about the formality because it's formal, right? But it's not Chok, right? The whole Gemara's point is that this is an idolatrous festival. So you might have thought that this is an idolatrous practice on the festival, and that would obviously make it Usher. Kamash Malan, it's a non-idolatrous practice. So therefore, in this Gemara, does the level of formality matter? Not particularly. Does the source, right, the rationale for the practice matter? Very much so. If it's idolatrous, it's usher. If it's not idolatrous, it's mutter. Though, remember, the Gemara doesn't actually say that. It says, if it's not idolatrous, meaning, what does it mean when it says chashivuta? Is it just saying it's chashivut, it's for honor of the king and not Avodah Zarah, and that's enough to make it mutter? Or it's saying it's not Avodah Zarah and there's a legitimate explanation to do it, which is the key there. Right? Not clear. What about on the hem point? The chukote hem? We don't know. We don't know who started it. Right? And lo te lechu. Is it we can't do something because they're doing it, or we can't do anything they're doing? Which is it? So, well, unclear, because they are doing it and yet it's mutter. Right? But we're not mimicking them, because why are we doing it? Not because they're doing it, but because... because it is an expression objectively of chashivut, right? And therefore, it seems, it's not 100% clear, that the implication of this Gemara is that in order to make it usher, it has to be mimicry and not just that we're doing the same thing, because we are doing the same thing, and yet the Gemara says it's mutter.
Well, we're doing the same thing and it's mutter, but that's for a different reason, because it's not a bizarre.
That's fine. But, right, so it's not clear which issue is muttering it. That's true. Well,
it seems that the Gemara is saying that.
maybe. You're right. Okay. Let me read you another Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nunbet Amadbet. Gemara says as follows. Mitzvah Taner, again, Ayumatizin Rosho Besayit. Beheading, we use a sword. Kederach Sham Malchut Osa. Just like non-Jewish kings, when they behead people, they behead them with swords. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nivul Hulo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's disgusting. Use a hatchet. Okay? What? a hatchet, an axe.
What is the sword and what is it?
And the Chachamim say, why would you use a hatchet? Amrlo, eina mita minuvelet mizu. There's nothing worse than hacking off his head where an axe. A sword is nice, clean, right? Cleanly detaches his head from his shoulders, right? Guillotine, nice and quick, right? What? Nice machete, right? That's better. So the Gemara says, Tanya. Amrlo, and Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda said l'chachamim, Afani Yodeshamita Minuvelati. The Gemara, right, in the Mishnah, it sounds like he thought that a hatchet is a nice way to die. The Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda is quite aware that hacking someone's head off with an axe is not as smooth as a nice machete, a nice samurai sword, I don't know, right? Mashi, yeah. Avoma eseth. But Yehuda says, what am I supposed to do? What do you want from my life? What am I supposed to do? The Torah says you can't do what the non-Jews are doing. Whoa. So Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda think? So now let's go through the rules. Let's go through it. Chok. How formal? Not sure. Right? V'chukotehem. What makes it theirs? They do it. Very good. What if it makes sense? No. Too bad. Teilechu, does it mean we have to mimic them? Or we just can't do what they're doing? We can't do what they're doing. Right? We haven't said that yet. Right? So this is a very radical one. And the Rabbanan respond, Rabbanan, you're right, but Kevan dechtiv sayef b'oraita, since putting someone to death by the sword is in the Torah, lo minayu kogamrinan, we're not learning it from them. What seems to be the Chachamim's response?
We did it first. The source matters.
We did it first, meaning?
We can't take it from them.
Good. It's right? Which line do they seem to be arguing on? Teilechu. Right? Which is? Correct. It's, yes, they do it, but that's not enough to make it usher. In order to make it usher, we need to be doing it. Why?
It'd be two ways.
Because they do it. That's one way. Right? We didn't. Now, you could take the formal one, which is, No. Even if we were doing what they were doing, it would still be usher. But if the Torah said it, that's mafkia it from being theirs, because it's in the Torah, so it has a chalos shame. It's not what they're doing. You could read it that way if you wanted.
Or if we started it.
What?
It doesn't matter.
Sure. Or we started it, so therefore if they pick it up, they can't now make it usher. The Gemara says, one second. The Elo Temahachi, because if you didn't say that, what does it now do? It now turns to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Vatanya, Sorfan Amalachim, Elo Midar Kamori. You're allowed to burn the things of the king, and it's not Dark Yamori. And here the Gemara gives a totally different answer. Why is it mutter to burn the things that belong to the king? Because burning the things of the king is in the Torah. Dichtiv. Let's see where you get it. Now by Torah they mean Tanakh. So let's see. I give you 10 seconds to figure out where it is in Tanakh. What? What? It's not in Torah. Good. We got that. It's not in Torah. Very good. It's in Nevi'im. Very good. Okay. You have now limited it to one third of Tanakh. 5 more seconds. It is in the 34th parak of Yirmiyahu. Where God, I know. I know you were debating Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet. I know. That God says concerning Tzidkiyahu that don't worry, you won't die a death by the sword. Bishalom tamut, you'll die by the peacefully. Umisrfot avotecha harishonim asher levenecha ken yisrfu lachem, like the burnings of your fathers, we will burn for you. And therefore, the Gemara says in a magic line, love. Minayu kagamrinan, and therefore we didn't learn it from you. What does that make it sound like? What is the key for the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
Learning
from them. So on the one hand, that's a big kula, right? That it's only us if we mimic them. However, is Avodah Zarah mentioned here?
No.
Right? Bechukoteim seems very clearly to not be limited to Avodah Zarah, to the reason. It's simply, the main issue here is, right? Did we learn it from them or not? Right? And it's not clear what Rabbi Yehuda wants. right? Either he thinks that we didn't do it. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Al chanami chaven dechiv sayva right the lami nayu kagamri." Yes, Joe. So the question is, what does it mean? Right, we learn it from them, but right, you could see a range of possibilities there.
One Jew's like, all right, I'm going to go do business with the non-Jews. And he's like, there. And he's like, oh, so when you guys start ringing your bells? 2010. Ah!
Right. So that's the question. Is it about mimicking, right? Or is it about Dafka learning from another source that makes it not mimicry, right? That would be the Nafka Mina, right? Meaning, is it that because it's from the Torah, it's like Mufka from we learned it from you? Or is it, no, we didn't learn it from you, right? It's not mimicry, right? Is it that it's not mimicry makes it mutter, or learning from another source makes it that it's not a not-Jewish practice. Okay, those are the two key Gemaras. Now you understand that there is a tension, a deep, deep tension between these Gemaras. Why is there a deep tension between these Gemaras? Right? Because in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it seems clear that what matters, the rationale behind it, right? The Avodah Zarah, that matters. Right? That's what matters, right? If it's done for a good reason, does the Gemara there care who started it? Does the Gemara care how formal it is? Not obviously, right? What matters is what type of gzera is it? What type of rule is it? Right? That seems to be the main principle. What about in the Gemara in Sanhedrin? The Gemara doesn't talk about it at all, right? The question of the Gemara is the tension between the Yehud and the Chachamim. Is, are we not allowed to follow them? Or are we not allowed to mimic them? Right? Did we derive it from them? Right? So not surprisingly, these tensions in all those phrases that we picked up, that's the major, those are the major axes upon which the entire halachic, and the guys in my shir know, right? I can spend an entire shir, like yesterday I did, on two psukim, right? Or one pasuk. And showing you how if you read the pasuk very, very, very carefully and think very, very carefully about every word in the pasuk, what will happen? You will be able to predict with 90% accuracy every position that will appear in Rishonim and the Acharonim. That's just how life works. If you know to think carefully enough and read Chumash enough, after that, you'll be able to do it. And guess what? In this sugya, it's really neat, right? Once you've done this hard work, everything falls into place, right? You can very, very quickly figure out what it is that the Rishonim are going to say about the key rules. Okay? So, Gemara, for example, Tosfot on the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks a whole bunch, in Jeremy and Avodah Zarah, right, asks a whole bunch of questions. He notes there's a tension between Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah. His conclusion is as follows. The Kach Perishri, the Tre Gavne Chuka. There are two types of chukot. Echad Shosin L'Shem Chok Avodah Kochavim. One is idolatrous. The Echad Shosin L'Shem Dat Hevel Ushtut Shalahem. The other is because it's stupid. Right? There's idolatry and there's stupidity. Two categories in life. That is all of life. One of those two things. Understood? Fine.
It is the same thing, actually.
Oh, there's one category. V'hacha b'shmaizin mayrim ba'oto chok, sh'osim l'shem ba'oto chavim, v'hachi perush r'meir savar tzreif alav chukai. L'avod chokhavim, l'hachi parach, v'chukal l'avod chokhavim, anan hechi sarfinan, v'akdiv v'chukudem lo t'lechu, v'av agav d'chtiv b'oraita, yishlasor, k'evan sh'lemu chok l'avod chokhavim. So Tosfot says very simple. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is the Chok Avodah Zarah-esque? Yes. If it's Avodah Zarah-esque, then it becomes Aser, even if it's in the Torah. Meaning what? If it's Avodah Zarah, then how do we read Lo Teilecho? Don't do. Right? Not just don't mimic, because it's in the Torah, we're not mimicking them, but if their practice now becomes identified as an Avodah Zarah, we can't do it even if, barring something which is a mitzvah, presumably, right? Obviously. right? But something which is neutral, meaning the Torah clearly legitimates it, but the Torah doesn't command it. Right? If it's actually idolatrous, we can't do it even if we're not mimicking. Right?
Well, that's like obvious before this.
Right? But what if it's just Hevel Ushtot?
Then you can. As long as
you're not mimicking.
Right. Very good. Right? But if it's a question of stupidity, right? It's just a meaningless thing, right? So then what? Very good. Right? And what does the Gemara end up saying? Because what? What's the Gemara's maskana here? Is it Avodah Zarah? No, it's Chashivut. So if it's Chashivut, meaning it's not meaning stupidity, but meaning the point is that they're not doing it for idolatry. So now what? It's only usher if it's mimicking. But if it's in the Torah, it's not mimicking and it's mutter. Right? That's how Tosfos understands it. So according to Tosfos, the main thing we need to know is it Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah? If it's Avodah Zarah, ask, then we can't do it even if it's not mimicry. If it's not Avodah Zarah, then we can do it as long as it's not mimicry. Yes, John.
Even if it's not a mitzvah, say that we're not going to do something in the Torah.
So again, this isn't, it's not in the Torah. Like this means the Torah, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu mentions that kings burn their stuff.
Okay, so what about something that's in the Torah?
So you're going to have to figure out, you're going to have to draw the line somewhere. Now, this is not really in the Torah. It's, what do we mean by the Torah? It means the Torah acknowledges that in Yirmiyahu, that Tzidkiyahu will get this. It's not that you have to, but like the Torah acknowledges the thing people do, right? That's about all we get, right? So you'd have to figure out what it means by Torah. No, not yourself, but I'm saying that's something you'd have to ask, right? Because obviously the more the Torah actually proactively tells you to do it, even as not as a command, obviously the more mutter it's going to be, right? That seems obvious. Now, is Tosfos enough? Not exactly enough, right? Why is Tosfos not enough? Does he explain the evidence in front of us? Basically, what does he not explain? The context of the psukim. Remember what I said? Where are the psukim? What's the context of the psukim? Araya. Very good, right? Araya. Therefore, the Maharik, which is one of the main shuvot on the topic, in Shuvah Pechet, okay, he was asked about wearing the doctor, the special doctor clothing, right? The special identifying clothes of a doctor. So he basically follows Tosfos' general model, which is, what's the main determining factor of whether something is a problem with the Chogodem Lo Telechu? The source. But, unlike Tosfos, who limits it to Avodah Zarah, he adds, right? So category one is, anything that has some sort of Avodah Zarah is Aser. Inan Hasheni, he adds, is, something that involves some sort of breach of sexual propriety. Now, where does he get that from? Not from the Gemara, but, you know, straight from the Psukim, right? That's point. So, first of all, he cares about the source. Yes? But then he adds yet another kula. Because according to Tosfot, It's usher if what? Avodah Zarah is usher even if it's not mimicry. The Rivash, the Maharik, says A, it's Avodah Zarah or Pritzut, but only the Af Gamzot Nira Dahinu Dafka Kishu Oseke Dei Lihidamot Lahem Velo L'Toelet Yadua. It's only if you're doing it to mimic them and not because it makes sense. Not because there's an objectively good reason. So therefore, the Maharik has two huge limitations. Three. One is is the source question. It's only if it's Avodah Zarah or Pritzut. And the second is even when it's when they may be doing it for Avodah Zarah and Pritzut, it's still only usher if what? You're doing it to mimic. Right? If you're doing it to mimic. Even if it's a Avodah Zarah or Tzniut issue, right? That's a very makel combination of positions. Now, a lot of people say we pass the Maharik. It's sort of true. The Ramah quotes the Maharik, but I'll read you the Maharik. I'll read you the Ramah, and you tell me whether you actually think he's passing the Maharik. He says, Right? It's only us if they're doing it. They're doing something that's a breach of tzniut, like wearing certain red clothing, which is meant to be provocative. Or with no reason. Now, the Maharik also says that something with no reason is usur. But you know why the Maharik says this? So this gets a little bit tricky. He says, if something is ein ta'amo nigle, right, it's usur. But there's two reasons why you might think that something with ein ta'amo nigle is usur. Why would you think that something you don't know the reason is usur? So you might just think that it's for no purpose if you give credence to what? The mimicry svara, right? Therefore, if it's meaningless, but you think that mimicking itself makes something usur, so then if it has no reason, then why are you doing it? To mimic. Why else might you say it's... And I think that's what Maharik thinks, that he really has three categories. If it's avodah zarah, or it's pritzut, but really for him the main category is mimicry. Right? Why else might you think that something with no reason is usur? Because then it might be from avodah zarah. That's what the Ramah actually says. Right, and I think that the Maharik and the Ramah actually divide on this point. Where the Maharik cares more about mimicry, and that's why he thinks that something with no reason is usur, simply because you're mimicking. Where the Ramah says the ikol lemechash me mishum darkei amori. That the reason it's usur is there's no reason. You have to be worried that what the rationale was avodah zarah at some point. But therefore, he adds so fundamentally he agrees like the Maharik, and his main point, which is davar shenagu l'toelet. Right, that's something which is litoelet is allowed. Right, is allowed. Okay. Now, if I asked you which of the two Gemaras is the Maharik is posed about giving more credence to halacha, right? Which are they emphasizing and which are they explaining away in light of the other sugya?
The one by three.
Yeah, right. The one in Avodah Zarah. The one in Avodah Zarah, which fundamentally thinks that it's chukah if it's idolatrous. Right, that's Tosfot, that's the Maharik. If it's problematic, that makes it usur. The Maharik also seems to think that mimicry is problematic for in its own right. But they fundamentally take the Gemara that says what makes something chukarakum is the fact that it has a problematic background. Now, there are some Rishonim that are very, very explicit about this. And they just say, you know how you deal with the seeming... The Ritva quotes Tosfot as just saying, that the sugyan plige yahadade. It's really just a machloket sugya. One sugya thinks that it's about the source of the takana, right? The source of what's going on. The other one thinks it's about whether we learned it from them, right? And which one does he paskin like? The one in Avodah Zarah that we care about. Right, the rationale? On the other hand, right, the Gra, right, very famously disagrees. And the Gra takes as the controlling Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? And he quotes that the Ran also understands the Sugya in a similar way to Tosfot, right, that it's only if it's idolatrous and things like that. And he just says... Tzmuhin, right? What they say is shocking. Elo devadai hakol usur. He says it doesn't matter if it's idolatrous. It doesn't matter if it's from znut. Even if it's not, it's usur. What's the real rule? Usur rak lumod mehem usur. The problem is, right? Kein dechiv lo minayo gamrinan. Lo damishim dechiv arayt el chol davar shein osim zulata mutar. And therefore, what's the rule? Anything we would do if they didn't do, mutter. Anything we only do because they do, usur. So the Gra basically says, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, what makes something chukarakum?
If you do it because they do it.
If you do it because they do it. Right? If you do it because they do it. Right? Now that means that on our questions, So definitely, lo telecho, he means don't mimic, not just don't follow, right? Probably that means he also thinks chukah is more formal, right? Because there are a lot of things that we do and they do, which obviously we're both allowed to do, right? Meaning, when you say that it's only us to mimic, it has to be the type of thing that you mimic. So for example, I eat. Right, I eat, you eat. That's not like a thing I would mimic. I eat because I eat, right? The reason it's mutter is not because of the maharik, that it's only usher to do the things that are irrational. It's usher, it's mutter because that's not the type of thing that is formalized that you're doing because you're mimicking. You're eating because you're hungry, right? You're eating because you're human, right? So therefore, the gra, right, has chumrah because anything which is formal and the type of thing you're only doing because you're mimicking is usher. But presumably, it needs to be a certain level of formality where it's the type of thing that you could point to and say, I am doing it because they're doing it. Yes, Rudy.
So, what do we find out when it's different? So, for instance, in America, where many Jews, even Orthodox, are so integrated that it's not really considered a them or us thing. You know, like Christmas is obviously one thing.
Okay, so we'll get to Thanksgiving in a minute, but you're ahead. We have to do the principles. In 2 minutes, I'll get to it so that we don't go too much over because I didn't want to, you know. I was forced to giving this year to begin with, so you're not going to get me to go for 2 hours. Yes, Josh, yes. If you wanted to, you could do whatever you want. I can't stop you. Yeah.
So around Rambam used to do a topping out ceremony because they called it a sukkah d'avoya.
Topping out?
When the building reaches the top, they celebrate. When they finish building up to the top.
Sounds right.
But couldn't you also argue that there's reason to celebrate outside of the idol worshiping?
Sure.
So why would that be?
I don't know. I didn't look at it. Yeah. This is the first I've heard of it. I've never heard of a topic ceremony. You're like, I don't know. But I do know from experience that Ray Friedman is very machmir on these things, which is why, you know, do not wear cap and gowns. Do not wear cap and gowns. Do not wear cap and gowns. Right? I understand. I also went to Rama. Okay. Right? We didn't have, you know. What?
Yep.
Right. Because.
Isn't that
right? Exactly. You know, I had one friend who was very, very machmir to never wear a tie because ties are stupid. Why are you wearing it? Because goyim wear it, right? That's a major position, brother. There are many posts who think the ties are usher because they're stupid. The only reason you would make it. What? No, many chassidim don't wear it. It's not a joke. Many chassidim. You think fashion is considered rational? Okay, guys. So that is really the main principles. Now, obviously, the sugya is very, very, very complicated. But now, with that 40 plus minute of introduction of the central principles, and this is really the principles, right? Now you can understand, right, what the machloket is, right? So now, if you want to jump all the way now to Thanksgiving, right, just like that, from the beginning to the end, right? So now you'll say, okay, so what would you say about Thanksgiving? What does it depend on? So what's the first thing you got to figure out?
Is it idolatrous?
Right, Torah's got to figure out, is it idolatrous?
I think so, Rabbi.
Right?
What are you doing?
So here, historically, right, here's how it goes, right? So when Thanksgiving started, the first version in 1621, right, with the pilgrims at Plymouth, right, where they celebrated surviving the harsh winter, okay? On 1623, July 30th, they had a second Thanksgiving after 14 days of rain. This was all collected by Rabbi Broid, an article of the Journal of Contemporary Halacha years ago. There were a bunch of random things like this throughout the 1600s. In 1777, the first national proclamation of Thanksgiving was given by the Continental Congress, right, which read, it is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive power of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December, next for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor. And they, together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God. These are very, like, bolded. through, you know, like the random capitalizations that happen that through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please him gracious. I only quoted that because it's necessary in this context, obviously, to understand the problem here, that it may please him graciously to offer his blessings on the governments of these states respectively, blah, 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 blah. So what do you think? Yacholiyot, meaning it is that we should all thank God, but there's clearly a Christian overtune, which, you know, Yesh Ladun.
Yeah, wasn't they were like Christian deists, so like maybe it's not literal.
I'm sorry, the last line, fine. The last line is to, I'm sorry, I didn't read you the whole thing. The last line is to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay? I'm just reading it to you. Just reading it to you. Fine? That is what it said in 1777. So, you know, we start to wonder about Desara. One second. 1782, John Hanson, first president under the Articles of Confederation, declares the fourth Thursday of November to be Thanksgiving. 1789, they propose a day of Thanksgiving. Washington, 1789, talks about uniting everyone and serving the great Lord and ruler of nations. No Jesus in there. He renews it on 1795, but no one actually celebrates it from 1719 to 1863. 1863, Lincoln issues a Thanksgiving proclamation, and that's when Americans start celebrating. By the way, Thanksgiving, it's called the Thanksgiving Proclamation.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know. 1930, you should thank God, I don't know. 1934, Roosevelt changed it to the second last Thursday in November in order to increase consumer spending, right? And this is where the Avodah Zarah thing starts to significantly weaken.
Yeah,
fine. So, right? So, with that background... So, with that background, what would you say? Wait. So, with that... I don't care if they're inspired by C-Code. With that background, what would you say? What would you say? You tell me. Right? So, Rav Hutner says, Usser. Why is it Usser? So he says it's Usser because, not because of the Chukotem. Okay. He says different problem. And that is, Hare Inyan Shal Moed Vachoger Yom Hazeh Bal Karcho Shum Mishtatev Moed. It's Usser Ere Chag. Right?
It's a practice, though. It's not a
halakha. Okay, I understand. So, he does go quite far, and he says that it might be a harg val yavor, because it's matan kavod atzum lavo dezara, hamarei milta depshita l'chol vendaki chagigat moed ha-kavua l'viatarach zeh yeshmo mishum abu zrayu. It's clear to everyone there's abu zrayu avu dezara, so is he a harg val yavor to celebrate, I guess? I don't know. Yes, or Footner. Rav Menashe Klein as well suggests that it's Usher. Many others say that it's Usher at least to do the irrational parts. What's the logic of saying it's Usher to do the irrational parts? Eating turkey.
Because it's good. And
No. The certain poskim will say eating turkey is just irrational, just right? Specifically, having turkey is stupid.
It's not kosher?
No. Because that's right. You want to have a holiday thanking God. That might make sense. But this is irrational. And therefore, if you hold like who? The Gra. Then anything that has no reason, and therefore we clearly learn from you, is usher, unless you think it's not a chukah, right? What? And that would make it a problem. That would make a problem. Right? Right? Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting thing. Rav Moshe has a contradiction. Okay? He has two tshuvos. Be'inyan. Taf, ayin, nun, kuf, samach, dash, gimel, yud, vav, yud, nun, gimel. Thanksgiving. Okay? Binyan, Thanksgiving. What? Thanksgiving. Ta Ted Ayin Nun Kuf Samach Dash Gimel Yud Vav Vav Yud Nun Gimel. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Okay? So be Davar Thanksgiving. Fine? He has several tshuva on it. So he says, look. It's so in one tshuva he says it's probably usur. Not because of Avodah Zarah. Right? Because even if maybe at some point they made it idolatrous, that's not this holiday. This is a shopper's holiday. We know that already, right? Right? why is it asur? B'chukoteim lo teilechu. Shein zechok lavo dezer. L'chok hevel ushtut ba'alma. So in one shuvah he suggests, why is it asur? From which category? Shtut ba'alma. Remember Tosfot? Tosfot said that if it's stupid, but you're doing it because they do it, then it's usur. Right? So it's avodah zarah is always usur, or stupid, which you're only doing because they're doing it, is usur. So in one shuva, Ramosha says, usur. Right? This is Ramosha, in Igros Moshe, Chelek, Orachayim, Hey, Simen Chaf. However, in Chelek Dalet, in Yerodeh, and Simen Yod Aleph, he suggests, maybe not. He says, since B'sifrei Datam Lo Huzkar Yom Zelechak, since it's not mentioned as a holiday, and what did we say? That one of the things that might make it that you might need to make it usur is what? That it's a chok, right? Right? If it's a avodah zarah, it's usur. But if it's not, it might have to be a chok, because it might have to be that it's the type of thing that has a chalos shem mimicry, which would make it that it needs to be a chok. And since there's no chiyuv su'uda, right? No chiyuv, it's just a zecher la'anshem indina, it's a thing that we remember. Right? So then he says, lo matzino b'zeh iser lav. Right? So now, if that's the case, right? In this tshuva, what does Rav Moshe do? One second. What does he argue? Is it hevel ushtut? No, it's not. And is it a chok? No, it's not. So if it's not really hevel ushtut, and it's not avodah zarah, then what's the only thing that would make it usur? Is if we're doing it because they're doing it and it's formal. So there, Rav Moshe, what does he do? He comes up with a pshara and he says, it's usur if what? If you do it every year, because then what are you doing? You're making it into a chok. Right? And the Shimon shows Ata. Now, is that an obvious tshuva by Rav Moshe? It's a very big chiddush in Rav Moshe, because what's Rav Moshe arguing? Right? Think about it. If you follow the Maharik model, what matters? Is it a avodah zarah? No. Is it, you say no. Is it znud? No. Is it hevel ushtud? So in one shuvah he says yes, and if it is, then it's usur. But the next shuvah he says it's not. It's not stupid. If it's not stupid, then according to Maharik, is it mutter? Yes, because according to Maharik, what's the model that we follow? The model of the Gemara and avodah zarah. What matters is, what was the origin? If he's following the Gra-like model, then what matters? Not whether you're treating it as a chok, but is it a chok? Right? If it's a chok, then when I do it, I'm mimicking it. And if it's not a chok, and then what would you say about Thanksgiving? And the Gra's definition, what would you guess? My guess is in the Gra's definition, it probably is a chok. Right? Because it's not the type of thing that you would do just because you're you. Right? It's not like eating. Eating you do because... Yeah, that would be following a chok, nikuda, right? That would be my guess is that according to Gra, you would argue, the more you go in the model of, how do you know whether it's usur? It's the type of thing, would I do it if it weren't for them? That's basically the Gra's definition. This is not one of those things. Maybe I would have a different celebration, but to do it on this day, on this Thursday, in November, right? Kal v'chomer with turkey, right? Now, admittedly in Israel, I know it doesn't seem like that because you don't usually get turkey, but Israel eats the most turkey per capita of any country in the entire world on a general basis. So if you happen to have turkey on a Thursday night in Israel, that wouldn't be crazy, right?
13 kilos a year.
What? It's disgusting. It's unbelievable. Now, why it is that the thing you would want to take is turkey is beyond me. Like pecan pie, pumpkin pie, I get it. You understand? You want to mimic that. That's rational, Right, obviously, you do that. I would eat pecan pie. What? I would. Correct. I wouldn't have chicken either, but I would have pumpkin pie. I would have pumpkin pie, and I have pecan pie. It doesn't matter. You give it to me on a Wednesday, I'll have it too. Right? Aw. What? Maybe I'd have that too. Right? Now, in a third tshuva, what Rav Moshe clarifies is that he had a suffix, right? That he's just not sure. Is it enough of a chok, in which case it would be azar or not? And therefore, since he's not sure, right, he says maybe it's better to avoid, but it's definitely azar once you start chokifying it.
If he's saying to make it a chok, you have to do it every year, but to die and do it every year, it needs to be a chok.
Yes. No, oh, so that's right. That's why I think Ramoja is a little bit interesting, right? Meaning, it's not about whether you make it as a chok, it's whether you're mimicking their chok. Right? Ramoja is a huge chiddush, right? Because the simple shot in the sugya is what matters is, if you're following the Ramoja, it matters whether it's a chok for them, and you're mimicking, and not whether you made it as a chok. What? The non-Jews who are doing it! No, we're not. That's exactly the point, because that is not, that's the, that would, right? No! Right, that's exactly the problem here, is that you're not, right? You're mimicking what they did. This isn't a Jewish thing. Doesn't matter who said anything that religious. We made it very clear. This is not about religious.
It's part of tradition that has nothing to do with religion, it has to do with culture.
But it's a multi-religious culture. It's not like it's saying it's...
So, I don't understand, but that doesn't make it better.
It does not matter. What matters is that we are Jewish, and they have something that isn't Jewish, and because it's part of their culture, whether that's a religious tradition or not part of their culture,
we're part of the culture.
But that no. Okay. So again, guys. So let's summarize. Right. So let's bring this together. So again, guys. Again, if you follow admittedly, the majority view is what? Guys, the majority view is some variation on Tosfot, right? The Maharik, the Ran. Right? That would make something also, the primary category is more generally, is the source of the practice. Is it idolatrous? Is it, right, znut? Right? Foolish ones, right, are not usher unless they have no reasonable explanation whatsoever. Right? So even if you think this is foolish, maybe giving thanks is not completely foolish, and therefore, probably within the Marik's model, it would be mutter. Right? The only question with the Maharik is what? As we said, is something we didn't know whether it has an idolatrous thing, so maybe you have to suspect. In this case, even though we know at some point, I mean, they quoted Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost, the current one, post-Lincoln, doesn't have that language, right? And it's called Thanksgiving, it's on a different day in a different month, right? Correct, but this is a different, the fact that it's called Thanksgiving, it's presumably not that one anymore, right? So, presumably it's not idolatrous, and therefore, if there's some rationale, probably according to Marik, right, you would say it's just mutter, right? According to the Gra, who says that the main issues are only something either that has a Jewish origin or something which is not a chok, right? Something which is something we do, Thanksgiving would probably be usur because it is a chok for them, right? Right? It's an established thing and, right? And it's not of Jewish origin. So according to the Gra, presumably, it would be usur. Right? Now again, what did the postman actually say? So we saw, Rav Moshe in one tshuva says, right, it's usur. Right? In one he said, it's only usur if you do it every year. Right, so in one place he says it's not a goyish holiday, so it's mutter. That's following the very Maharik model, right? In the other one, he sort of mixes in the grub, but in a weird way, because according to the grub, what really matters is whether it's a chok for them. According to the Ramosha, the problem is it's a problem whether you make it a chok, right? So it's a little bit complicated to figure out what Ramosha wants, so he goes a little bit back and forth. But that's Ramosha. In the end of the day, it does seem to be, even though in one place Ramosha says that he really thought it was Usher or thought it might be Usher, but he's just hesitant. He can't firmly say it. The truth is that his Talmidim felt that it was Mutter. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt thought it was Mutter. And he thought you could even have Thanksgiving. You can even have a turkey on Thanksgiving. Rabbi Lazar Silver felt that way. The Rav weighed in and just said it was mutter. And everyone, and there was a, it was well known that the Rav would finish here early on Thanksgiving to get back to Boston for a meal. So I don't know if that's because he simply embraced, right, a Maharik model, right? I don't know if that's because, now, the key, of course, is to catch the game. Rav Henkin, you heard Sol Henkin, also thought that it was mutter. Now, he said that even if there are some religious denominations that celebrate it religiously, it doesn't make it a religious holiday, right? Because clearly a secular holiday, right? The fact that religious people will, I don't know, say grace when they're thanking, right? That's not, that doesn't change the fact that it is, that it's a secular holiday. Furthermore, they just don't think that it's a chok, because it's, even if it's a holiday, it's not an obligatory thing, right? Okay, I'm not sure. But Rav Henkin's argument is that it's not a chok. So even according to the Gram, might be mutter. Now, how could he say such a thing? So his argument, I'll read you the English, goes as follows. Where is there found any prohibition to rejoice on the king's birthday and similar occasions? Common practice proves the opposite. On a Gentile religious holiday, it's prohibited to do business to assist Gentiles since they use that which we provide for worship. For this rule, it makes no difference what is the purpose of the holiday. Even the coronation or the birthday of the king is included. Such is not the case regarding rejoicing and celebrating alone. Right? So part of it is that repentance seems to be that even in a Gra-like model, it might be mutter because it still needs to be a chok. And according to him, celebrating might be, right? A non-obligatory holiday might be, right? Not a chok, right? It's, you're, don't call it celebrating Thanksgiving. Call it celebrating on Thursday, which they call something like that, right? Or something like that, right? And therefore, maybe you could even come up with some sort of heter within the Gra. At the opposite extreme, we saw that Rav Huttner and Rav Menashe Klein said, not only is it chukarakum, it's worse than that. There's an isser of creating a moed, right? Which is some sort of Abu Zrayu, have a Vojazara. And Rav Menashe Klein goes as far saying that it's like making a prophet holiday and worshiping many gods, etc. And he thinks it might be Aser Midaraita. Rav David Cohn in Gvul Yavetz argues that it's Aser. This, and he writes, the celebration of Thanksgiving is something that has been disputed by many rabbis. Some prohibit it and maintain that it is derivative of idol worship. And there are others who completely permit its celebration. In my opinion, to eat turkey for the sake of a holiday is prohibited by the rule of Tosfot, since this is an irrational rule of theirs and following it is improper. Nevertheless, there's no prohibition for a family to get together on a day when people do not work and eat together, right? So what his compromise, he says, look, if you are getting together because what? You happen to have off on Thanksgiving and you want to have a family meal, so then he says that would be mutter. But to eat Thanksgiving foods would be usher, because then you're starting to mimic.
What if you just, like, you enjoy the food, so
so you know what many people do in Israel? They've come up with a compromise. No.
Have it the day before.
No, not the day before. Come on, think what people in Israel do.
It's on sale, so you buy it.
Shh. Think, what would people in Israel do?
Shawarma?
No, they do it the day after. They do it Friday night. They say, we like turkey, we like pumpkin pie. Yalla, that's our menu. For, I know a lot of people in certain cities, but Efrat happens to be one of them, and Modi'in happens to be another, where there are so many pockets of Americans that, like... That's what they do. So some people will do it Thursday night, and some people are like, look, we're not going to do it on Thursday, because, oi, that would mamish be a chok, right? I'm taking a holiday from America and doing it on Thursday night here. But I like turkey, and I like, you know, pumpkin, and I like pecan pie. To do it on Friday night, lichvoid Shabbos, that kvar is mutter. So that's, I know many, many Americans in Israel who that is their minag. That is the basic range of positions, but you understand, guys, give me one more minute, but you understand that once you understand the principles of Chukarakum, right, you can already basically predict the positions are going to come, that they're going to come, right? The more you focus on Mozara, the more likely it's going to be Mutter, right? The more that you think that something which is Usher because it's from a problematic source, it's Usher. The more you focus on the Sugya and Sanhedrin, like the Gra, that no, it's anything where we plausibly are doing because we mimic them and not because we're just doing it. It's us, or unless you think that Thanksgiving is not so formal. And then you have Ramosha's Kiddush, right? That what matters is not whether they treat it as formal, which at least Rav Henkin goes in that direction, right? Which is to say, even they're not doing it formally, right? And he says, no, what makes it a chog is you making it formal, right? Which is a very interesting compromise. And then you have this other reason to be machmir, which is that it's not a holiday. Like I said, I think in the end of the day, I don't know what to tell you about most poskim. I think it depends on the community. I think most people in the modern Orthodox community, because of the influence of the Rav, who just thought it was mutar l'chatchila, right? And the impact of people like Rav Henkin, and the fact that Moshe, right, was pretty megal. And, you know, I've known many people who are like, oh, I possibly Rav Moshe. And you're like, oh, but you have it every year. Rav Moshe has done it every year. He said, I didn't do it every year. One year I had a wedding on Thanksgiving. They didn't do it. I've heard people say this. You see, it's mutter. Oh, because that one time I went to like my cousin's wedding, right? Not like I had a choice, but that shows you it's mutter. So I know plenty of people who are mutter based on some version of Rav Moshe, even though Rav Moshe's shita is complicated. And I'm sure there are plenty of people. I will just tell you that when I first got married, this is one of those big divisions, because Canada has a Thanksgiving, but nobody celebrates it. Not Jews, not non-Jews, nobody. Right? Thanksgiving, Canada just has this thing that you must have a long weekend every month. If you don't, so in some provinces, they come up with an excuse and give it a name. In some places, they just call it bank holiday. They're like, they don't even bother. They're just like, we are having our long weekend of August. What is it called? I don't know. Sometimes they'll be like, let's give it a name. Simcoe Day. What's Simcoe Day? Literally nobody knows. And they take their three-day holidays seriously because it is illegal for most businesses to be open. There was one time on Simcoe Day, I think it was Simcoe Day, maybe one of the other days, I don't know. It was by Rosh Hashanah, and the supermarket wanted to be open in the Frum community because it was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And like to be closed on Erev Rosh Hashanah, like the major supermarket with the kosher butcher and the kosher baker, like this is like a disaster, right? They make a fortune of money because literally it is the most profitable Sobeys in Canada because of how many from Jews there are. They make like $1 million a day or something the week before Pesach. It's like something absurd, right? They had to petition the government to get a special dispensation. Yeah, they did. To work. Not that they would have stayed closed. They would have taken the fine. Trust me, they had the money. But because they don't do it, when I got married to Ura, and I was like, oh, my parents want us to come to their friends for Thanksgiving. My mother was like, my mother was like, we're going to our friends in Queens, whatever. And Ura is like, you celebrate what? I'm like, Thanksgiving, like any good American. She's like, Chukas Akum, this guy is like, what is this? You Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? I'm like, it's an American thing. Like, this is horrible. So Ura has like banned it in our house. Like, we have just not done it because Canadians do not understand at all why Americans would. Yes, like I said, nobody cares about it except that it's a day off. Okay. They don't do anything like on it. I was like, don't you? No, that was what I asked Ura. I said, don't you have Thanksgiving? And she said, yes, it's a day off in October.
Yeah.
What? We don't do anything. So if you ever try to talk to Canadians about this, they will think you're crazy. And if they're from, also think you're idolatrous. Right. But in general, right, there is room to be made. Although obviously if you, it's not crazy when you make the argument to be machmir, you understand why people might be. But still, la halacha, because it's a secular holiday, because there is some logic to being thankful, and the like, and you have a day off anyway. So that's why many of the poskim are makil. But now you at least understand the principles, that it's based on. Okay.